Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today.
Welcome, executives, to the Sports Film Pitch, part of the Sports History Network, where we bring you Hollywood's next sports movie. We're going to tell you all about a true sports story, cast the movie for you, and pitch it to you, and you tell us, should we make this into a movie? This week, we got one of the greatest fighters of all time, and we're doing it early in his fighting career, so maybe we can have a sequel. Now let's get into the pitch.
From a country where everyone thinks
they're always after me, Lucky Charms.
One man will fight to prove he's more than a leprechaun. He is one of the greatest fighters to ever enter the octagon. We're giving you the Irishman, the Mighty Mac, Conor McGregor, starring Tanner Edgerton, Sophie Turner, and Aaron Taylor Johnson. Don't miss this week's pitch.
So, Mighty Mac, the Conor McGregor story. Who are your cast for this iconic role? He's known for his accent, his rashness, his in-your-face-ness. Who can really pull that off? And there's one actor that just really stood out. They have a lot of facial features that really connect. And seeing him in his most recent project really kind of connected them for me. And that actor is Taron Egerton. Now, Taron, you might know him from the Kingsman's movies, the first two. He is Exe, the main character in those movies. That's really where I pull a lot from his brashness, his cockiness. He's got a lot of that in those movies that really fit this as well. And then also looking into his most recent project, which was Blackbird, a TV show on Apple Plus, where he plays a con man who's really buff and like really into fitness. And that really kind of cemented, like, oh, he has the look of Conor McGregor right now because of how buff he is and everything like that. Because it's not something you can just easily pull off. A lot of people can go from not being buff to buff. Yeah, you can do that, but it's just kind of good too. And he fights in that show in prison and stuff like that. So he's got some fighting shops in there, and there's also fight scenes. The Kingsman movies as well, so that kind of marries each other as well. And he's got a good accent. It is a British accent, so it's not Irish, but I could really see him going over and fitting that into what he needs to. Because he was also in the movie Eddie the Eagle, another sports movie, so he's got the sports chops as well. And he knows how to kind of manipulate his voice a little bit to match who he's going to be portraying. Because he's also played Elton John, and he manipulated his voice a little bit to play that character as well. Next we have John Cavanaugh. And that John is Connor's like best friend, trainer growing up through the ranks. Been with him for a long, long time, and they're real close. And we need a guy, another guy that can kind of fit that, be a teammate, be stubborn, do everything to be by his side, but not just be a yes man. And a guy I think that really fits the look and the style of John is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Now, you probably know Aaron from a lot of different things. He has a huge credit list on IMDb for a guy that's so young. Most recently, he was in the Bullet Train movie with Brad Pitt, and he was in the movie The King's Man, the most recent Kingsman movie that Tanner wasn't in, but he was in, so there's a good connection there. They were both in that as well. He's been in the movie Tenet, Godzilla, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. He is in the MCU very little, mainly for the Age of Ultron Avengers movies. He plays Quicksilver in those movies. He is also in the Kick-Ass movies as well. So he's got a lot of chops in the action genre. And in the Kick-Ass movies, I think that really kind of fits what would fit in here, because he does a lot of hand-to-hand combat, and that's going to be what he's doing a lot with Connor in training him and just being that guy that's supporting him and raising him through the ranks. And finally, we're going to cast Connor's longtime girlfriend, Dee. She's been with him basically through his whole journey from becoming nothing to becoming the world's greatest champion in the UFC. So who we need to cast here is someone that's very supportive and can go from being that supportive person that's right beside him to being that kick in the gut that he needs to keep on going. Another character I think that would fit this really good is Sophie Turner, another British actress who can kind of turn on the Irish accent pretty well. She's been in a lot of different things. She was in most recently in the Staircase miniseries on HBO Max, where she played an English speaker and had no issues with that at all. So she can manipulate her voice. So that's really good to see. And she's also been in the X-Men, Dark Phoenix, First Class, Apocalypse. She's been in all those movies as well. So she's been in the superhero genre, showing she can do a lot of action. She's probably most well-known for her role on Game of Thrones as well. So kind of showing she can be that support or backstabbing or whatever she needs to do, what she needs to do to get the job done. So I think she would be a great addition to the cast and really push this movie forward to being a great sports movie. Now let's get into the pitch. So Mighty Mac, the Conor McGregor story. Now a lot of you might be thinking, he's still fighting. He's still doing a lot of different things. How would you do a movie so soon after all this stuff? One thing I think that could happen because of this, and could be even a groundbreaking thing, is we could do a sequel. One thing that doesn't happen very much is based on a true story, sequels. It's usually a one-off movie, and you don't have a lot of options to do more. In this case, I think you do have that option. Now, we don't know what he's going to do now and what's going to happen everywhere. This story is only going to go to 2017 before the Floyd Mayweather fight. So there's going to be a lot of time after that that we could conceivably take this and make it a sequel. And that's what I think is very interesting and why I'm kind of pushing for this, because his story up until that point is a very unique and very uplifting story. That rags to riches story. So that's what we're going to do for this. So Connor is born 1988 in Dublin, Ireland, to Margaret and Tony McGregor. I am so sorry. I'm going to slip into that accent all the time. Hopefully it's not too bad for you. He was just a normal Irish kid, kind of growing up in a working class family and not really having a whole lot that he could climb onto. Like, he tried to play soccer, and then that's what everyone there wants to do. They want to become that great soccer star. He tried, but he just couldn't do it. The only thing he seemed to be good at was fighting. And fighting in Ireland is just kind of a way of life. It's normal for boys, especially, to get in fights on the playground, and as they grow up, just to be in boxing scuffles. So right around the time that he's about 17, He becomes a pipe apprentice. He's working his way up through a trade, which is a very noble thing. And his parents are really excited for that because they know that he'll be set for life. It's a trade that makes good money and he can do this all the time and have this skill. But he hates this. Hates it. And he starts to see these cage matches getting very popular. And he's like, that's what I want to do. I love to go to the boxing gym and just box. And boxing is a little bit more boring, but this stuff, this excites me. I can really do this. And so he joins this gym and he just starts to love this. This is what he loves. And this is around the time now he meets Dee, and she wants him to be happy. Like, they're happy together, and she sees how going to this dead-end job day after day of being a pipe apprentice is just killing his vibe, his presence, and she wants him to be happy, and so she really encourages him to go after his dream. And his dream is to make it to the UFC and be a world champion UFC fighter. And he talks to his gym, and they're like, we'll train you. You have a lot of intensity and a lot of skill. We can train you to be a great fighter. And that's where he meets John Kavanaugh. And he's actually another fighter that he's grappling with. Now, John doesn't have as much skill, but he's a technical wizard in the sport. And so he's really talking to him about how to do each step and each step. And while he does this, Connor makes a risky decision. He decides to quit his apprenticeship as a pipe layer. He tells his parents this, that he wants to be able to stay at home and focus on training to become a world champion. Now, obviously, your parents aren't going to be super excited. You want to do a sport that literally is you could possibly be beat up, knocked unconscious, even worse. That's a scary thing. And they want him to have this steady job because even if you go into fighting, you can only do that for a certain time. And that's kind of his thinking. Yeah, I can only do this for a certain time. I can go back to pipe later if I need to. But his dad is kind of really focused on letting him continue his pipe laying job. And he even offers him $10,000 to keep working as a pipe apprentice. But he says, no, I have this dream and I'm going to go for it. So he goes into intense training with John Kavanaugh. And he's teaching him all the in and outs of MMA, besides the boxing that Connor had kind of gotten into, teaching him the grappling and the wrestling and the other things that can kind of come up in an MMA fight. And we come to Connor's first professional fight. It takes place in a tiny basketball gym in Dublin. He is the undercard, and he's an unknown facing an unknown. And the fight's about to start. It's getting closer, and Connor's not there. John Kavanaugh, his coach, is calling him. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? His phone just goes straight to voicemail. It's off. Nothing. And then just 20 minutes till the fight, John is thinking he's just going to throw in the towel, forfeit, because he's not there. Just about as he's about to go forfeit, Connor busts through the doors, jumping around, going crazy, being all excited, all hyped, like we know he is, but even on an almost new level. Going crazy, and he just like jumps in the gym and boom, goes into the fight, like just shows up and gets into the ring, and he beats this guy down, no issues, crazy, celebrating the whole time, jumping up and down, screaming, yelling, everything, just being overall excited, crazy. Like, we know Connor to be, you take that and times it by five, he is going crazy. So the next day we have John bring him into his office at the gym. And they say, we're not going to train you. We're not going to put you into another fight if you act like that. You need to come on time for the fight, not just show up right in time. And you need to be respectful of the fight. Don't go super crazy like you did in that fight. And he understands. So he's like, I can tone it down. I can be there on time. And so we go to his next fight. And they get tickets. They get comp tickets for these fights. And Connor actually steals John Kavanaugh's tickets and sells them, trying to make some extra money. He's doing this. He doesn't have money to do this. He quit his job. Everything he has is this, and so he needs a little bit extra money. And so he's doing little petty things like this to kind of get by. John knows this.
John knows this happens. And so he tells him, I'm done. I'm not coaching anymore. We're done. And strangely enough, the person to get them back together is actually Connor's mom. Gets them back together. But we're going to have Dee actually get them back together. She's got an important role in this movie. And so we're going to be the voice of reason for Connor, basically, is who she is. So Dee gets them together. It's like, Connor made a mistake. He's stressed about money. He's stressed about everything going on, about wanting to become this great champion and how to do so. Can you guys please just forget about this one moment? It will never happen again. You guys are best friends. You need to stick together. Together, you guys can go to the top. And they bury the hatchet. And this is where we show just a montage of him going through a lot of his early Irish fights where he's just mowing down people within a couple minutes, knocking them out. And then we show him getting to the Cage Warrior Championship. This is kind of a Irish martial arts, basically the biggest fighting, organized fighting MMA thing for all of Ireland. And he goes into this. This is where he can really kind of make a name for himself. And he goes into this and has no issues. Just walks his way to the championship. And he comes out after the fight. And he's mad. You think you just kind of proved yourself the best fighter in Ireland. But the reason he's mad is because he hasn't reached his goal yet. He hasn't got contacted from UFC yet. He's doing everything right. Now, what does he do now? He's reached this point. Where else is there to go but UFC? Before he can even stop, we show... Now, really, it wasn't Dana White, but we'll show Dana White coming in. And talking to him after this fight and saying, hey, we want to sign to the UFC. You got more than what it takes to be a fighter on the UFC. So we come to April 2013, heading to his first fight in Stockholm, Sweden. Not only is this a big fight for him, you know, for his goal of reaching being the best fighter in the world, he also has no money. We show him cashing his last unemployment check just to get to Stockholm to have a little bit of money to eat. But he's got this big fight. And if he wins, he gets $16,000 for the fight. If he gets the knockout of the night, he gets another $60,000. He can make more than most people make in a year in this one night. Changing his life overnight from being this guy that just lives on everyone's couches to being a guy that can help support a family. Pay back some of the stuff that he stole or borrowed or was given to all those people that helped him out. And he goes in there and knocks out Marcus Burmage with punches in just 1 minute. And he is on top of the world, being that guy we know, jumping around, screaming, yelling, like he hit the game-winning shot and didn't even look at it. And he gets knockout of the night. So now he's on top of the world. He's got money. He can go eat. As crazy as it sounds, that's what he can do. And this is when he starts to train even harder, get that goal of where he wants to go. After this fight, we show him just kind of knocking through everybody. Go through his next few fights, and he just goes through those with ease. And then we come to 2015. He's ready to fight Jose Aldo. His previous fight has left him with an injured knee, but he doesn't care because this fight is for a championship belt to be the featherweight champion. He's getting all ready for it. Just a few months before the fight, Jose pulls out due to a torn muscle he had in training. But Dana White shows up and says, because it's an injury, we can give you another fight against Chad Menendez. And if you win this fight, you'll be the interim featherweight champion until Jose can come back and you can fight him the next time. So he goes and he wins against Chad Menendez, no problem. Knocks him out. Has the performance of the night at UFC 189. And he's yelling, I'm ready for you, Jose, after the fight. I'm ready for you. So they schedule the fight for him to win. And not just interim have the championship belt, but firmly have the championship belt against Jose Aldo. UFC 194, December 2015, facing Jose Aldo, a guy that's undefeated, has held the belt for years. Show him walking into the ring, facing off against each other, and at the 13-second mark, he lands a punch on Jose's face that knocks Jose down. TKO out! And he is the undisputed featherweight champion. Has the belt. But this isn't enough for him. When plenty of people have the belt, he wants to be known for being the best, doing something no one has ever done. And what is that one thing he wants to do? Be the first UFC fighter to hold two championships in different weight classes. So he moves up to the welterweight to fight Nate Diaz, another competitor that has held his title for a long time. He's coming in cocky. He's coming in hot. This is only 3 months after winning the belt from Jose. Moving up weight classes, going against a guy that's a wrestler that he usually struggles against because he's more of a puncher. And he is struggling during this fight. The first time in UFC that he has struggled. The first time in years that he's had any issue with a fight. He gets taken down by submission, a rear naked choke. And he loses for the first time in the UFC. And this is where we come to like him facing a decision. Do I go back down to featherweight? Do I do welterweight? What do I do? When Dee and John are there, kind of supporting him in his decision to move up and get both of these. He's like, you're not done yet. You're not. Continue. Go. Don't give up. And so he goes into training even harder, focusing on going against wrestling, focusing on everything he needs. And they actually give him the fight again in August of that year against Nate Diaz. This is going to be the final fight of the movie. And it's one of the longer fights of his career. It goes 5 minutes long, goes into the fifth round. Because this is one of the few fights that he has that goes by decision. Nate is a great fighter, doesn't lose, and is a guy that's known more of as a wrestler, so they're harder to TKO. So the fight goes back and forth, back and forth. Nate's winning the first round, just demolishing him on the ground. And then Connor comes back the second round, just kind of take him out. Punch after punch after punch. They're going back and forth, back and forth. The fifth round, Connor lays everything on the line, has nothing left at the end. And he wins the welterweight title, becoming the first fighter ever to hold two weight class championships. Redeeming himself, coming back from his first loss, and doing something no one has ever done. He is the world's best fighter at this point. No one else has ever done what he's done. We're actually going to end the movie where he has his first child is born. Dee was pregnant and she has her first child, and just showing him proud as a dad and just showing that life is not just all fighting. There's so much more as well. And there's so much more to come in his life. That it's not over now. It's just begun. The epilogues, the words at the end of the movie, is going to say he was the first fighter to ever win two championships in different weight classes. And he's continued to fight, taking on new challenges that no one ever thought was possible. And we'll end it with, and he's not done. Because there might be a sequel. And that is our pitch. Thank you, executives, for listening to this week's pitch. If you liked it, tell a friend so we can bring you more great pitches for the next sports movie. If you like that, you can get connected with us at sportsfilmpitch.com, all our socials, all our episodes, and you can leave us voicemails and emails there to be part of the community because we want to give updates. We want you to give us ideas for a future pitch and tell us what you think about this pitch. We want to be a community here at the Sports Film Pitch. You can also contact us on all our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email us at sportsfilmpitch@gmail.com. We just want to hear from you. We want to know what you think, and we want to know what might make a good sports film pitch. Thank you for listening, and we'll bring you another sports film pitch soon. Thank you, executives.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.